Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Nehemiah this evening. As I promised those that were at leadership training yesterday morning, that we'll look at this topic of problems and how we can solve problems biblically as we determine to serve the Lord. We confronted by the fact that people have problems, people have issues, and Nehemiah was no exception. And here in Nehemiah chapter 5 we have a good example and some clear principles on how Nehemiah addressed the problems that were at hand. Nehemiah chapter 5. As a way of introduction, because we live in a fallen world, problems are present. I don't imagine anybody would disagree with me. And the way forward and upward is for you and I to deal with problems biblically. Let's read here in Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, and then we'll pray. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, "We, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth or famine. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought upon bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your word this evening. Help us to not only have an understanding of how Nehemiah addressed problems, and but more so how he dealt with them biblically. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. I think it's been well said that mature people take big issues and keep them small, and immature people take little issues and make them big. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. And when we consider the fact that we live in a fallen world, and we consider the fact that we will have problems and we deal with problems as Bible-believing Christians, not only on a personal level, but also in helping one another. If you and I are serious about helping others, then we will be faced with the fact that as the sparks fly upward, as the scriptures teach, so likewise people will have problems. So I'd like for us to note this evening, how did Nehemiah deal with the internal issues at hand? He has thus far dealt with external issues, and now there are issues within the lives of God's people that needed to be addressed. Because people are people, and we live in a sinful world, and because we live in a sinful world, we will experience problems. So how did Nehemiah solve problems in his ministry? Let me note first and foremost point number one is that Nehemiah defined the problem. That's where you begin. What really is the problem? He listened carefully and he clearly defined what is the problem at hand. And in fact, there were a number of problems, and we read of these issues from verses 1 to 5. We note there from verse number 2, the people faced a food shortage. That was one issue. Why? Because there was a famine in the land, according to the third verse. And also, some were able to get food by mortgaging their homes and possessions. And then we read in verse number 4 that some borrowed money and were charged extraordinarily high interest. That's spelled out in verse number 4. And then unfortunately, we read in verse number 5 that in order to pay off debt, some of God's people sold their children into slavery. So all of this is spelled out from verses 1 to 5. And as each one shared their issue, Nehemiah listened very, very carefully. The Bible teaches us that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And if you and I are to solve problems biblically, we must begin by defining what is the problem, or what are the problems. And that entails you and I listening very carefully. Principle number one. And then we read on in verse number 6 that not only did Nehemiah define what the problems were, they were spelled out before him. We see from verse number 6 that he didn't ignore the problems. He faced the problems. Note then verse number 6, the Bible reads, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words." Now, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. He didn't ignore the problems. Is it not a funny thing that if you and I ignore a problem, it doesn't go away? And we are often guilty of ignoring a problem. And the issue with that is that in all probability, it will not go away if it's a real problem. If it's not really a problem, yes, possibly it will go away. But Nehemiah faced the problems at hand. Didn't ignore them. Yes, he got upset emotionally. And he faced the problems. He asked for clarity. What are the problems? Verses 1 to 5. And then he faced the problems. And then we note from verses 6 all the way to verse number 10 that he discussed the problems. Discussed the problems. Let's read on from verses 7 to 10, please. It reads, "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, You exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, We, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will you even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, It is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury."
So here we see within these verses that Nehemiah discusses the issues at hand. Nehemiah addresses the leadership. He's very forward. He's not backward in coming forward in dealing with the issues at hand. And he discusses the problem or the problems at hand. And if you and I are to solve problems biblically, it's important that we first and foremost we define what really is the problem. What really is the problem? And secondly, we need to face the problem, not ignore it, hope and pray it'll just go away. Face the problem. And then we read on that he dealt with the problem. He discussed, this is a problem. This is a problem at hand. We have a number of issues at hand, said Nehemiah. Then the final principle, we see in verses 11 and 12, that he determined to solve the problems at hand biblically. He determined to solve the problems at hand biblically. Note there in verses 11 and 12, it reads, "Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the wine, the oil that ye exact of them." Then said they, "We will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest." Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. So we see within these verses that not only did Nehemiah define, faced, openly discussed the problems at hand, but we see from verses 11 and 12 that he dealt with the problems biblically. He charged those that charged interest, fellow Jews that is, to not do so. He spells that out in verse number 7, that you will not charge interest to your brothers and sisters. And that's in accordance to Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. And then in verse number 8, he confronted the tragedy of selling fellow Jews into slavery. That should not be, and that's addressed there in verse number 8. And if you go back to verse number 10, he referred to his own example in extending himself in helping those in need. And he's asking the question, why haven't you been of help to one another, instead of taking advantage of one another? And then in verse number 11, those that were guilty of exploiting to return what they had taken from others. And he spells that out in verse number 11. So what Nehemiah does, he makes reference back to the word of God and he tells them, this is how you have violated God's word. And this is how we are to set things right. Nehemiah dealt with these issues biblically. And beloved, you and I need to deal with issues biblically. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished. God's word is sufficient. God's word is sufficient to meet the needs of the human heart. And people find themselves in trouble because they violate the word of God. And when you endeavor to help people with their problems, the probability is that they have in some way violated the word of God. Now, I understand that at times God allows us to go through fiery testings and trials. That is one thing. But may I stress the fact that it could well be that those problems that we face at the moment are the fruit of wrong choices and violations of God's word. And this is exactly what has taken place here. In verse number 10, Nehemiah stressed to them, in essence, stop doing what is wrong. Take responsibility for your actions. Stop it. And then he spells out there, according to verse number 11, that you need to make some specific plans on correcting these wrongs as soon as you can. And then we read here in verse number 12 that he calls for a commitment. He encourages them to declare their plans. How are you going to set things right? And I want you to promise me that you will set things right. So Nehemiah asked for a commitment. And when you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, are wanting to help somebody that is struggling with a problem and it's obvious to you that they have violated the word of God, then it's critical that you and I call for a commitment. Call for a commitment. This is what you need to do. Will you commit to them, to it? The principle of accountability is so critically important. And we read there at the end of verse number 12 that they took an oath. Nehemiah called for a commitment. And note that at the end of verse number 13, all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. So Nehemiah called for a commitment, and God's people were willing to commit to setting things right. And the main principles that Nehemiah spelled out to God's people, that reminded God's people of, is the fact that it's not wrong to lend money to a non-Jew for interest, with interest. It is not wrong to lend money to a Jew. It is wrong to demand interest on a loan from a Jew, fellow Jew. And it's definitely wrong to enslave a fellow Jew. So these four biblical principles, Nehemiah had to remind God's people of these foundational principles clearly spelled out in the Word of God. And when you and I endeavor to help people with their problems, it could well be that they have failed to live in accordance to God's word. All of us need to be reminded. And I stressed that yesterday to those at leadership training. We all need to be reminded. I'm thankful for the principle of first mention in the Bible. I find it very interesting when a topic is only mentioned once in the Bible. But most topics mentioned in the Bible are mentioned a number of times. There's a reason for that. Because we need to be reminded. And when you and I endeavor to help people with their problems, we need to be mindful that it could well be that this individual has in some way violated the word of God. And as God helps you and gives you discernment to pinpoint where the violation is taking place, then we call for obedience, we call for commitment. This is exactly what Nehemiah does. Defines, faces, discusses openly, and he gives the biblical solution to the problems. Simple, but yet profound. See, when it comes to problems, let me just share some general principles concerning problems. We all have problems. What are their source? That's the question. And may I submit to you that the majority of the time it's simply because we have violated the word of God. Now, we don't like to admit that. And most of us are blind to that fact. But that's the truth. See, problems can also be purposeful in the hand of an almighty God. Because Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 is still in the Word of God. God can use a problem in my life and your life to better us for His glory. And we must maintain hope that no matter the problem before you, it can be overcome. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is dependable. He will provide a way of escape. And we need to be diligent in dealing with problems before they grow out of control. In Matthew chapter 5, we are told to agree with our adversary quickly. I think so often our problems grow because we just hope that they'll go away. That's not usually how it works. And another general principle when it comes to dealing with problems, we need to seek God's wisdom in how to respond. We noted there in Nehemiah chapter 5 that obviously Nehemiah was very upset. I'm not sure if I'd call it righteous anger. You can work that one out. But he was very upset. But beyond that, he pulled himself together and he dealt with the issue, and he dealt with the issue biblically. And it's so critically important that you and I seek God's wisdom in responding to a problem. And in the midst of a problem, it's important that we continue to walk by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And may I also submit that no problem is too big for God. God is the God of the impossible. We all face problems and difficulties. We need to define what is the problem. We need to face the problem. We need to be willing to discuss and deal with the problem. And ultimately, we need a solution to our problem, and the solution to any and every problem is contained within the pages of the Word of God. Man struggles because he lives contrary to this book. And you and I will struggle if we live contrary to this book. Blessing comes from obedience to the Word of God. It's certainly one thing to know the Word of God, it's certainly another to obey the Word of God. And Joshua said there in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, if you will meditate in the word day and night and seek to obey the word, you'll prosper and you will have good success. In summary, the problem-solving process, let me just give you some summary points here. Number one, it's so critically important that we identify what is the problem. What is the real problem? What is the real problem? And it's also helpful in solving a problem that we work out now, how are we going to deal with this problem? Are we going to pounce on this issue literally straight away? Or are we just going to just wait a little, maybe collect a little bit more information, pray over it for a little bit longer? We need to work out our scope and sequence. And I have learnt the hard way, sometimes you can pounce too quickly. That's usually not the problem. More often, the problem is that we are too slow to act. That's usually the issue. So it's so important that we work out our scope and sequence in dealing with a problem. And in dealing with a problem, we must always come back to the precious Word of God. What saith the Word of God? The Word of God is perfect. It is sufficient to meet the needs of the human heart. And once Nehemiah fully understood the issues at hand, he could see a violation of the Word of God in a number of areas. And he spelled that out to God's people. And he called for a commitment from God's people. And he held them accountable, ultimately. And that's what you and I need to do in helping people with their problems. And I think another very important principle that we need to bear in mind in the problem-solving process is that we also need to ask the question, who else needs to be involved? And we need to be balanced in that area. Sometimes we can involve people in determining to solve a problem that shouldn't be involved. But there are other times that we need to involve others in order to really solve the problem that needs to be determined. And I think a wise principle to always bear in mind with any problem is that we need to, at the end of the day, ask the question, what can we learn from this problem that now has been solved? What can we learn? In fact, what can we learn to prevent it from happening again? I think that's a wise principle. So within the problem-solving process, identify, work out your scope and sequence, deal with it biblically, ask the question, who else needs to be involved here in dealing with this problem? And what can we learn from this problem at hand? What can we learn from this problem at hand? See, Nehemiah used the example of himself, how he was willing to give of himself in helping to meet the needs of others. He referred to his own example there back in verse number 10, in helping those in need. Also in verse number 9 as well. So Nehemiah was a wonderful example. And unfortunately, God's people became focused on their own needs. And as a result, they violated the word of God. And they were violating one another and taking advantage of one another. And as a result, they got themselves into trouble. And there are a number of problems at hand that Nehemiah had to deal with. So, beloved, this evening, because we live in a fallen world, problems are present. There are problems everywhere. But praise God for the eternal word of God. I'm thankful for James chapter 1, please. Go to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, in verses 2, down to verse number 6, it reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Praise God that we have an all-wise God. And we can ask wisdom from an all-wise God. And as we face problems personally and as we endeavor to help others with their problems, we can consult the God of all wisdom. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I've got to admit there are times that I really do wonder, Lord, what do we do here? What can we do? How can I help this individual? Wow, what a mess. How can I help? And that's where we just need to depend upon the Lord and seek His guidance, seek His wisdom. And the Bible gives us the promise, if any man lack wisdom, we ask of God, God promises to provide. I'm so thankful for that very fact. And I'm so thankful that there is an absolute word, the Word of God. I'd like to encourage you this evening in solving problems. Problems are solved biblically, long term. They are solved biblically, long term. And the Word of God is that more sure word. And the Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. And it's so critically important that you and I spend time in the Word of God. And if you and I will spend time within the Word of God, then we will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And note Paul's passion there in Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 3 once again. The book of Philippians, chapter 3 this time. Note there in verse number 10. Lord willing, I'll say more about this next Sunday morning. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That I may know Him. And when it comes to problems, when it comes to helping others that have problems, the God of all wisdom has given us the Word of God. And the Word of God has the answers. And it's so critically important that you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, spend time in the Word of God. That we endeavor to know God. Because the more we know God, we are filled more so with His mind. And we can direct people with the Word of God. See, Nehemiah knew the Word of God, as he listened very carefully to what they were saying and the problems that they had. Alarm bells went off. And he noted violation number one, violation number two, violation number three, violation number four. Because Nehemiah was a man of the Word. And you and I need to be men and women of the Word. And if you and I are serious about being spiritual leaders that really do help others, and people need help, people have problems. And the majority of people have problems because they are living clearly and openly contrary to the Word of God. So you and I need to know the Word of God. And the fact that there are problems in the world and people have problems should be an encouragement for you and I, and it should stir our hearts more so to know God. How do we know God? In and through the Word of God. Nehemiah knew God. He loved God. He knew the Word of God. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Nehemiah was a man of the Word. And as he discussed, was made aware, he faced, he addressed biblically. And this is what you and I need to be prepared to do. See, Galatians chapter 6, please. I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual,
Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So God calls us all to be available and willing to restore, to help those that are wayward. We are to bear one another's burdens. And this involves you and I being willing to help people with their problems. And praise God that we have the sufficient word of God that we can direct people to and call people to obedience and try to hold people to commitment. And that's often the problem. People don't commit to the Word of God. They want their problems dealt with, but they're not prepared to submit and apply the teachings of the Word of God. And just like Nehemiah called for a commitment, it's important that you and I, in helping others with their problems, that we call for a commitment. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Call for a commitment, hold them accountable. I'll ring you in a couple of days and see how you're going. That's what people need. This is what Nehemiah did in dealing with problems. So may God help us all to love people, to love God, to love people, and we need to bear one another's burdens. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. The word restore means to mend, mend. Such a one, how in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, cautiously helping, be mindful that you could also stumble. Bear ye one another's burdens, for so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray.